Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody else.
Praise the Lord.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27. Thank you, praise team and musicians, ushering in the presence of the Lord. Didn't they do a wonderful job this evening? In the past two nights, they have done fantastic. Amen. Amen. Not only are they talented and anointed, but they look godly. They look godly. Amen. Amen. I commend you for that. Commend you so very much for that. Amen. Once again, thank you, Pastor Giadrasich and his precious wife, for this opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and minister to this wonderful church. You all have blessed me this week. Give yourselves a hand. You didn't have to come to church on a Monday or a Tuesday or even a Wednesday, but you did. And that lets me know that you want something from God. I want something from God tonight. We're here. It's the last night of revival. We've already gotten dressed. We've already gotten in the car and drove here. We've already been through the preliminaries, and now it's time for the preaching. What do you say that since we're here, we just let go and let God? Can we do that for the next few moments? I'm not going to preach very long, but if you'll help me preach, if you will determine within yourself, I'm going to help this young evangelist tonight, and we're going to have a move of the Holy Ghost. You mark my words, God will blow your mind with what he does here tonight. Well, I got a few of you. I said, God will blow your mind with what he does here tonight. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27. Paul said, now ye are the body. Somebody say, the body. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You'll understand my title as we move forward this evening. But I want to preach to us for the next two moments, for the next few moments on this subject, bruised but not broken. Bruised but not broken. Just because you walked in here beat up and beat down, black and blue, doesn't mean that you're broken. Praise God, praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, I might be bruised. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I might be bruised, but I'm not broken. I might be bruised, but I'm not broken. Let's put our hands together all over the house. Now let's lift our voices from the front to the back, from the left to the right, and let's lift up the name of the Lord. Come on. Lift up your voice all over the house. Praise God, praise God. If you promise to help me preach with everything you've got, you may be seated. If not, just stay standing. We know the basic things about our bodies. We know that there are things about our bodies that are very simple and easy to understand. We know that God has placed within us, as his created beings, a particular set of systems that allows you and I as human beings to effectively and efficiently function from day to day. We know that we have a cardiovascular and a circulatory system. We have a digestive and excretory system. We have an endocrine system, an integumentary and exocrine system. We have a lymphatic and immune system. We have a muscular and skeletal system. We have a nervous system, a renal and urinary system, a reproductive system, and a respiratory system. But forsaking the basic knowledge that most of us possess about our bodies, there are some very dynamic and very diverse things at work in each of us here today. For example, the nose can remember up to 50,000 different scents. Humans shed about 600,000 particles of skin every hour. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's gross." An adult human is made up of about 7 octillion atoms. That's 9 commas and 27 zeros. There are 100,000 miles of blood vessels in an adult human body. And an average person produces about 25,000 quarts of saliva in a lifetime, which is enough to fill up 2 in-ground swimming pools. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's gross." Our bodies possess enough iron to make a 3-inch long metal nail. And the strongest muscle in the human body is the jaw muscle, and I know that's not because of gossip. When awake, the human brain produces enough electricity to power a small light bulb. The human eye can distinguish about 10 million different colors. Our heartbeat changes and mimics the music we listen to. And every day, our heart creates enough energy to drive a truck for 20 miles. If uncoiled, the DNA in all the cells in our body would stretch 10 billion miles, which is from here to Pluto and back again. In a lifetime, our brain's long-term memory can hold as many as 1 quadrillion separate bits of information. And the human heart will pump nearly 1.5 million barrels of blood during a lifetime, which is enough to fill up 200 tank cars on a train. Amazingly, the body uses 200 muscles to take just one step. And if you ever have one of those days that we all have from time to time, where you just feel absolutely worthless, remind yourself that the chemical elements that make up the human body are worth about $160. So you're at least worth that much. Without our pinky, we would lose about 50% of our hand strength. So I think that it's safe to say that the human body is very complex and the human body is very diverse. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The purpose of the body of Christ is to have unity with diversity. Because if we have unity without diversity, what we really have is uniformity. And that is never the will of God for His people. Diversity is essential for the body to properly function, because if every member of the body is the same, it's not actually a body. It's just one giant body part. And the problem with that is a single limb is limited. But when there is an entire body with all of its properly functioning limbs, the possibilities for that body become limitless. That's why Paul wrote to Corinth and enlightened them that individual believers baptized by the Spirit are members of the body. But when those members come together, the body is then made whole. And Paul asked the question, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But Paul answers these questions with a statement and says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Each part of the body has its own distinct function. Every body part is uniquely designed and given its assignment by its Creator. And so it goes for the body of Christ. Each person in the kingdom of God is a member of the body of Christ, but not just a member. We are members in particular. We all have our own designated destiny. And if one part of the body is not functioning properly, the body can never reach its full potential. So for the body of Christ to be all that God intends for it to be, it is absolutely imperative that each member of this body operate to the very best of its ability. Come on, you're going to have to help me now. In the body, the ears must hear. In the body, the eyes must see. In the body, the mouth must speak. In the body, the hands must reach. And in the body, the feet must go. And in Christ's body, the preachers have got to preach. The singers have got to sing. The soul winners have got to win souls. The prayer warriors have got to pray. And the prophets must prophesy. Listen when I say this. There is no such thing as a purposeless life. Everybody is somebody in Christ's body. We are members in particular. Your future is not fragile to God, but God Himself has divinely ordained your purpose. And when we receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the will of God will unfold for your life in a miraculous way. I feel like reminding every person under the sound of my voice that has ever questioned walking away from the church, you do belong here. And I've heard people say that I went to that kind of church. I went to that Pentecostal church. I went to that apostolic holiness church. And when they saw how I was dressed, and when they found out that I had baggage, and that I had some things in my past that I wasn't proud of, they made me feel like I didn't belong in that kind of church. Well, let me just let you in on something here today. If anybody has made you feel like you don't belong here, it's not that you don't belong here, it's that they don't belong here, because we don't have room for saints who are going to be selective about the souls that occupy our sanctuary. I want the homosexual. I want the prostitute. I want the alcoholic. I want the drug addict. I want the red and the yellow. I want the black. I want the white. Hey, those of you that don't want anybody to come into this house, you just stay sitting there. But for those of you that want the lost, that want the undone, that want the broken, I appreciate your hand clap. All that is somebody that forgot that there was a day when they didn't look like this, and they didn't think like this, and they didn't dress like this, and they didn't act like this, and they didn't talk like this. There was a day when they were in the ballroom, when they were unfaithful to their spouse, when they were smoking and lying and cussing and cheating. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, I'm thankful. David said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." He said, "It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." Now, if we were to stop there, we could get a pretty good idea of what David was saying. But if we journey into the book of Exodus, we can get an even better idea of what he was saying. Because when God gave Moses the plan for the tabernacle and the operation of the Levitical priesthood, we find out in Exodus chapter 30 what exactly it was that David was referencing in his psalm. Because in Exodus chapter 30, we find out that Aaron, the high priest, was anointed with oil. And the anointing began at his head and flowed over the rest of his body until it was dripping off the bottom of his priestly garments. And in the New Testament, not only is the oil a type of the Holy Ghost, but Jesus Christ is our great high priest who is the head of this body. So David said, "It's good and pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity." Because when the brethren dwell together in unity, nobody misses out on the flow of the Spirit. When the head is anointed, the entire body gets anointed. So when the body comes together, nobody has to miss out on what God is doing, because it is the will of God that everybody is a participator and not a spectator. And I can understand from a spectator's point of view that being part of the body of Christ doesn't always seem appealing when you're on the outside looking in. But perspective tends to change a little bit when you go from being a spectator to a participator. Because the Old Testament tabernacle in the wilderness was made of badger skins on the outside. And the outside of that tabernacle was not very pleasing to the eye. Those badger skins were exposed to all of the elements of weather. And I would imagine that that weather had taken its toll on the outside of that tabernacle. The outside of the tabernacle, it wasn't very alluring. It wasn't very compelling. It wasn't very pleasing to the eye. It may have looked like it was battered and like it was bruised. And I've heard people say all of my life, "I don't want to be Pentecostal because then I'll have to change the way I dress, and then I'll have to stop going where I've always gone, and I'll have to stop talking the way I've always spoke, and I'll have to stop hanging around the crowd that I've always hung around." And they say that doesn't seem very pleasing. It doesn't seem like a life that I would want to be a part of. But make no mistake, even though the outside of that tabernacle wasn't very attractive, when that high priest walked into that tabernacle and the Shekinah glory of Almighty God filled the... Hey, don't let how we look on the outside stop you from receiving what we have on the inside. This is the best life to live.
Well, I wish somebody that's been redeemed would stand and help this preacher right now. You know what it's like to live in the world, and you know what it's like to be in the church, and this is the best life to live. We don't wake up every day with regret about what we did yesterday. We wake up every day and every day saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We're not bound. We are liberated. We are not lost. We are found. We don't wake up every day with baggage and with dirt and with failures. We wake up every day saying, thank God he brought me in. Well, I got about four of you. Where's the rest of you at that have the Holy Ghost? Are you glad to be in the church, or do you want to be back in the world? You could still be lost. You could still be an addict. You could be divorced. But God brought. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. That when you walk into this house, we may not look like the rest of the world. And there may be some lifestyles that we don't partake of. And there may be some scenes out there in the world that we are not involved in that may seem fun to the flesh. But I tell you what we do have. When you walk into this house, addicts can get delivered. Marriages can be put back together. Past can be redeemed and restored by the blood of the Lamb. The blinded eyes can open, and the lame can walk, and the dumb can talk, and the deaf can hear, and back pain can be healed by the power and the glory of Almighty. There is nothing like the church. And so it's good for the brethren to dwell together in unity, because we're not just a gathering. We're not just a group of people that gather a few times a week. We are not a social club. We are a family. We are brothers and we are sisters. So when hell breaks loose in your life, we're not going to let you walk through that valley and climb that mountain and endure that storm by yourself. But Paul said there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's why the Bible said we have got to weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that do rejoice. Don't expect a raise on your job if you can't rejoice when somebody else gets a raise on their job. Don't expect your kids to come back to the house of God if you can't rejoice when somebody else's kids come back to the house of God. I know that we can cry and weep when somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, but can we grab them by the hand and dance in the aisle when they get the report that God has healed their body? Don't expect God to do something for you if you can't rejoice when he does it for somebody else. Hey, and if Richmond wants revival, you better know how to clap your hands and stomp your feet and lift your voice when somebody else has revival, because it's not about one location. It's about the kingdom. It's about the body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I can entertain the presence of God alone, but my potential in the Spirit is limited by myself. That's why Paul said, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So when all the members of the body come together, the temple for the Lord to dwell in gets bigger.
And us preachers, we like to preach about Ezekiel chapter 37, about how God can take ruin and bring revival, and can take a valley of dry bones and raise up an exceeding great army. But if we're not careful, we'll miss some dynamics that are at work in Ezekiel 37. Because the valley of dry bones was just a church service. Because Ezekiel spoke the word and the bodies came together. And once the bodies came together, the spirit moved and the bodies received life again. It was a valley of disassembled body parts. And we were just a bunch of disassembled body parts scattered all throughout this area until we all joined together under this roof. And the word went forth and the spirit moved and the bodies came together to create an exceeding great army, because there is something powerful about the members of a body coming together in agreement, because one horse has never caused a stampede, one snowflake has never caused an avalanche, one raindrop has never caused a flood, but when a multitude mixes together, it is the recipe for the miraculous to manifest itself. That's why he said, where two or three are gathered together, I've got to show up. And I've got to show out. And that's why in Acts chapter 2, they were all with one accord when the Holy Ghost fell. And in Acts chapter 3, it was Peter and John in agreement for the lame man to get up at the gate. And in Acts chapter 10, the racial barrier in the kingdom was torn down when the Jews and the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost together. And in Acts chapter 12, it was a prayer meeting of a church that released angels to go and get Peter out of the prison. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that something happens when faith mixes with faith. Okay, preaching is a dialogue, not a monologue. Where two or three agree touching any one thing. And the Bible said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So what is preached across this pulpit cannot take place in your life until you notify yourself that you've got breath in your lungs and you open up your mouth and you agree with the preached word of God. Are you ready? We're going to try it out. God can heal your body. God can fix your marriage. God can bring you revival. God can save your family. God can bless your finances. You ought to open up your mouth and say, preacher, I believe that. I agree with that. I want a miracle. I want a breakthrough. I need God. John 19 and 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But verse number 36, for these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. The enemy might bruise the body of Christ, but he will never break the body of Christ. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You can live a lifetime and never break a bone, but you can't live a lifetime and never get a bruise. And I've come to let somebody know that if you walked in here beat up, black and blue, bruised all over, you ought to be thankful. That just means that you've still got a body. And even though you might be black and blue, you're not broke. And I wish you'd let hell know, I'm not broke. I've still got to dance. I've still got to shout. I've still got to worship. I've still got a commitment. I've still got faithfulness. That's why he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That wasn't a possibility. That wasn't a chance. That wasn't a maybe. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't know what that does to you, but that gives me an assurance that regardless of what I go through in this life, I am part of the church and I am built upon a rock. And rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. No weapon that is formed against me shall ever prosper. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not. Let me say it again, shall not. Shall not. Shall not. Shall not. I'm going to say it till you get it. Shall not. Shall not. Shall not. Cancer, shall not. Division, shall not. Complacency, shall not. Brokenness and failure, shall not. Divorce, shall not. Rebellion, shall not. They could bruise the body of Christ and they could beat the body of Christ, but they could not break the body of Christ. But as Christ hang lifeless on the cross, bruised and beaten but not broken, the skies darkened and the earth shook and the veil was rent. The disciples wept at his death and rejoiced at his resurrection. And the devil rejoiced at his death and wept at his resurrection, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And as long as the tomb was full, the devil was victorious. But when the stone was rolled away, the devil was defeated. The devil rejoices when the body of Christ is lifeless. But I've come to let the devil know that this local body of Christ has still got breath in its lungs. There's still an apostolic church in Richton, Mississippi, and your hands are still reaching. Your heart is still loving. Your mouth is still speaking. Your feet are still going. The church is alive and well. Let's stand all over the house right now. Let's stand all over the house. The body of Christ is alive and well. Anybody believe that right now? You believe the body of Christ is alive and well? Well, how do we know? How do we know that Jesus got up from the grave? I'll tell you how. Acts 1 and 3. The Bible said that he showed himself alive after many infallible proofs. So you know what? When people walk through those back doors, they don't need to walk into a church that's twice dead and plucked up by the roots, that doesn't have a hand clap, that doesn't act like they've got the Holy Ghost, that doesn't know how to help the preacher preach, that doesn't know how to worship the God that brought them out of sin and gave them a brand new beginning. They need to walk into this house and say, I don't know what that is that I feel all over me right now. I didn't get this in the barroom. I didn't get this in the club. I didn't get this in the pill bottle. I didn't get this when I was shacked up with a midnight lover. I didn't get this anywhere in the world. And they're going to know, what's that feeling that I feel? And they're going to be able to identify that the body of Christ is alive and well. Run to this altar right now. Everybody, everybody, run to this altar right now. You get up here as fast as you can. All over the house, run to this altar right now. Come on. Come on, make your way out of your pew. Get up here now. Come on. The writer of Hebrews said that a body had to be prepared for him. Why did a body have to be prepared for him? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. If God would not have manifest himself in the flesh and occupied a body, there would have never been any bloodshed to save the world from their sins. And Leviticus said that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So a limb can be separated from the body, and the body will go on. The body will continue to live. But that limb that is disconnected from the body will die. So I'm preaching to somebody right now. You've perhaps thought about leaving the church. You've perhaps thought about walking away because you feel like you don't belong or you don't fit in. Hear this preacher right now. That is a trick of the enemy to get you disconnected from the source of blood. You disconnect yourself from this body, the body's going to go on. This church will go on without you. I promise you that, because God will always have a church. But this church wants you here. This church loves you and desires to have you, every person under the sound of my voice. You are desired and you are wanted here. And the moment that you walk out those doors and make up your mind you're never coming back is the moment that you cut yourself off from the source of blood. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to lift our hands right now and we're going to plead the blood over our lives right now. Every hand raised, every eye closed, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Come on, plead it over your marriage. Plead it over your finances. Plead it over your ministry. Plead it over your children. Come on. I plead the blood. Make a fresh commitment to God. I'm not walking away. I'm not leaving the church. I am welcome here. I am loved by these people. I am loved by God. I need the blood. Come on, that's it. That's it. Call out to him right now all over the house. Reach over and connect with somebody on your left and on your right. Because when faith mixes with faith, when faith mixes with faith, there's something supernatural that happens. Would you pray for your brother and your sister right now?
But you.